your boy just straight up and ditched you and left you on that rock by yourself.
All by myself, man. It's it is what it is. But you get used to that out here. People are leaving all the time, you know?
All by myself. You should do like a montage of like all the pictures with you with that music. Just to guilt the hell out of him.
I'm gonna have to do that. Yeah. We're gonna have to figure that one out.
It seemed like a good move for him though.
That is. I think so. I think he's everything he says, he's digging it. You know, he's still living in that hotel right now, so that's gotta be rough. He's got those 3-year-old twins.
Oh yeah.
You know, and you know, mama and all that. I mean, it's I don't like hotels already as it is.
Oh, I know.
But to live there for like weeks and weeks with your kids.
Oh, it's rough.
You know, and they're three, you know, so there's no reasoning with them. They're basically
tyrants.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
with a lot of energy.
With tons of energy, right? Yeah.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
he was all like, yeah, dude, don't worry. We're going to we'll still do those ULO episodes, those Unshackled Liberty on Wheels episodes. Those are easy because they're pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, dude, there's a 5 to 6 hour time difference between, you know, you guys on the East Coast and where I'm at, depending on daylight savings or not, right?
Yeah. And he's in the same zone as me. So it's six hours difference. It's like, bro, we're not in the car at the same time anymore.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It doesn't happen. Doesn't work. Oh no, that'll be easy. I can do it. I promise. And then it's like every time I'm like, no, I'm busy. I'm putting the kids to sleep. It's like, I told you. So we've been on that hiatus for, I don't even know how long.
It's been a minute.
And then, well, plus then we decided to switch off of Anchor too and tried to start our own thing, do our own self-hosting with our own website. And that kind of is fun, but there's a whole technical thing. I screwed up a bunch of stuff when I did that.
Yeah.
Like I did, because then I ended up just going into Podbean and doing that there. And so we're kind of like self-hosting, but kind of like running it through Podbean too. And
why'd you make the decision to stop doing Anchor?
Well, Anchor kind of ticked me off, man.
I still haven't gotten any more ad ideas from them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I mean, they made me mad because it's on principle. Like nobody's getting rich off of this stuff, right? I think,
oh, no.
I think to be honest, we did this podcast thing for, I don't know, like 9 months, a year almost. Well, it's been a year now.
Yeah.
We started about the same time. And we made like, I mean, and you know, we're small. We don't have a huge reach. We made like $80 out of the whole deal. And it's not we're not doing this to get rich anyway. But on principle, they just stopped letting us run ads and really wouldn't give us an explanation for why. And wouldn't even let us run our own commercial ad, anchor.fm, the easiest way to make a podcast. You know what I mean? Like wouldn't even let us run that. And so I was like, you know what?
That's really weird.
You know, these guys can shove it. I'm out, you know? So we left and now I'm like, I don't know if I should have done that.
Any of you agorist libertarian nerds out there, you want to put together a podcast hosting for these, those anarchist vets?
we had Jeremiah Harding give us a hand and make our, you know, build us a little website and it's pretty good. It's fine. It's working, but you know, getting the RSS feeds and everything to sync up is what screwed us up. So we're fine. We're having fun with it anyway. And I said, nobody's doing this to get rich. So
I must be still really small because they haven't messed with me yet that I can tell. They're like, no one listens to that guy. Yeah, I can't
imagine you being smaller than us. Like, I don't know. Because I know I'm not measuring anything here and I don't care because it's just fun. But, yeah, it's like I don't know why they would shut us off like that and then not give us an answer for why. And so then, like, again, on principle, I'm the guy that cuts off his nose to spite his face. You know, I do that all the time. I regrow my nose constantly. I like probably 3 days a week I got to regrow my nose because that's just how I operate. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm out. We're gone. Let's go do something else. And in doing so, it's made a lot of confusion. Like I've had DMs from you know, followers and whatnot go, hey, where are you guys at? I can't find any of your shows. You know,
I still see you guys on, cause I got rid of all my podcatcher apps just cause it was killing my phone.
And, oh yeah.
I ended up signing I ended up doing the paid subscription to Spotify just because I like the music. Like they really get you with that 3 week, you know, free. And I was like, this is awesome, man. It's like I own it. And so, I still catch you guys on there.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I can see it too, right? And I always got to go back and like do the little research for them and try and follow the rabbit trail and go, okay, you can go and find it here, you know. Because they want to listen, bro. I mean, if the people want to listen, man, that's why we do this, is to have fun and to reach out to the homies, you know?
Yeah.
So
I've been thinking here lately, I need to get some Bitcoin nerd to help me out because I feel like a boomer. But I think I'm going to try to set up where people, if they want to donate, they can donate in crypto.
Yeah.
If they want to. So
that would be fun.
I want to try to get away with, you know, if anyone does want to do donations, I don't care if you do. If you do, that'd be awesome. That would help. And I can get podcast lessons and suck less. But but some people like doing crypto. And
yeah,
I don't, you know, hey, that's a one way I could get into crypto is if you want to donate to the show, you can do it in crypto.
You know what, Pete, if you listen to like Pete's latest ads off of, you know, you listen to Free Man Beyond the Wall?
Oh, yeah.
I imagine you do. I think we all kind of do, right?
Yeah, I know Pete.
Yeah. So he one of his ads, he figured something out where he's not, he has the Patreon, but he also has another thing that he uses.
Yeah. I'm going to get, I'll probably get with him.
Yeah.
And, he's local to me. So I need to get with him anyway.
Yeah. You guys like around the corner from each other or something.
Yeah. Probably like an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. But yeah, I drove like 2 hours to go hang out with Shane a couple weeks ago.
That's cool, man. How's he doing? Yeah,
he's a good dude, man.
So what's going on over there? I see that, you know, I don't pay attention to it because it's not my I don't pay a lot of attention to because I'm out here in Hawaii, right?
Yeah. Like
nothing personal, but what do I care about Georgia politics, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, but so he caused a runoff.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of like, you know, I'm seeing the fringe of it, right? Like the little the fringe stuff. So
people are, that's so really mad at cool. Him.
I think that's great.
Yeah, people are so mad at him. He spent $0. He did not campaign. He didn't do anything but his normal podcast and like post stuff on Twitter. So basically a Monday, you know.
Yeah.
And still got like over 115,000 votes.
Good for him. What and a like great, every, I mean.
Yeah. And then I think the Ossoff and Purdue, I think they spent like over $100 million. And they're probably going to spend another $100 million.
Yeah.
And so.
So when do you guys, when's the election for you guys? When's is it done yet?
No, nope. I think it's the 5th.
Okay. So it's coming up.
Yeah. And I keep getting people, can we count on your vote? I'm like, I voted for Shane in November. You know, I did vote. I'm not voting again. Yeah. I'll vote for him when he runs for governor.
I'll tell you what, though. His whole story, just from the periphery, looking in on it, and, you know, having him on with you, and then who was that?
Theo,
yeah, having you guys on.
Have you talked to that dude since?
No, like, he's disappeared. He fell off, right? I don't think he's on Twitter or anything anymore. I think he just kind of disappeared.
I guess so. Yeah.
What's he doing? I hope he's okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but you know, with what he's doing has kind of motivated me. And then I think the V for V guys, right? Yeah, they're getting more involved in their local LP. It's kind of motivated me to reach back out to. Yeah, I walked away from the Hawaii Libertarian Party for the same reason I think a lot of us do, is they were really interested in winning elections and trying to get power, and they weren't winning elections, and they weren't
getting power.
And it's missing the opportunity to, you know, do like what Shane's doing, just be a radical voice for freedom.
Yeah,
he's just be the
Shane,
guy, you know,
Shane's just being Shane.
Yeah, having no real interest or plans or expectations to win an election, but use the political process to try and wake people up to how stupid the political process is.
Yeah, and then everything that he's saying, like if you see, like as governor of Georgia, I will do this. Mm-hmm. And like you said, like I think he's going to run a legit campaign, and like, but like you said, no illusion, the odds of them winning are very slim.
Yeah.
But if he does win, he's dead serious about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, talking to him, I mean, my last episode, I had the state chair of the Libertarian Party for Georgia on. And he's an awesome dude.
Yeah, I listened to that. It was a good one.
Thank you. Yeah. And I mean, I think I'm going to join my local chapter here in my county and at the state. And all of you other Liberty vets in Georgia, there's a ton of you. If you want to make sure that Shane gets the nomination for Libertarian Party chair, you got to join the Libertarian Party. I think you got to do it before mid-January. So you got like 2 weeks or so. Just throw the $30 down, join, and then we'll go to Atlanta and we'll make sure he gets the nomination. If you want to see him get up there and drop bombs on the cathedral.
Why not? I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Like,
yeah,
just, I mean,
you can't buy a ticket to an MMA fight for that cheap.
I know.
And this will be way more interesting.
Just go. Yeah. Just take a giant turd on the altar of the cathedral, like you said.
Yeah. Cause there's a lot of backstory. And when Shane said you mess with the wrong damn Marine, I was like, yut.
Who did he say that to? I didn't catch that one.
He said that to the Republican Party of Georgia.
That's funny. So I just got a text message from Gumbo. Guess who didn't do his baseline physical test?
Gumbo.
Yeah. He's so lame. He's always putting his family first and stuff. That's so lame.
I
know.
I mean, he probably would have done better.
He probably would have. So are you good with the idea of doing like a monthly thing where we get together and talk about our progress and everything? I think this is such a
good idea. For sure, dude. I think to me, 2021 is the year I'm not playing around no more. Yeah. To get my life in order spiritually, physically, mentally, you know, I want to be a better husband.
Good.
I want to be a better follower of Christ. Which good. That, which I, if you look at my Twitter, you won't notice that. he ain't done with me yet, you know.
That's right.
Work in progress.
That's right. We all are, bud. Like, that's it.
I love Jesus. I just cuss a lot. Just be a damn man.
Yeah.
You know. And I think this is good. And then I'm going to tell, we're going to sit there and go over this stuff, and I'll tell you what, I'd been working out off and on, but not regularly and not doing any cardio, basically just doing stuff that I was somewhat good at. And, doing this baseline, I was telling my neighbor about it, and I was like, it's a real hard pill to swallow when you realize you're not that dude no more.
Yeah. It's an eye opener, isn't it?
I mean, whoa.
I did about what I expected I was going to do with the push-ups, sit-ups, and pull-ups. I figured I kind of had a pretty good idea where I was with that.
Yeah.
That run, though, dude, I was like, oh, I should have been better than that.
I thought my ankles were going to get turned into dust. My weight is what really, really scared me.
Yeah.
It's rough. So, yeah, I'm going to lay myself out there and be transparent.
Well, so you know what changed my whole perspective on that fitness thing. And I guess when the gym shut down, because I was, I had no interest in cardio, but I was in the gym every day and I was lifting big heavy things every single day, deadlift, squats. I was always under a barbell, right? And having a great time doing it and putting up, I'm 5'11", I'm 265, 266 right now, which is big but I'm never going to be sub 200 again, ever. No,
not since middle school.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And I think the last time was boot camp was when I was under 200 pounds. And
I wrestled my freshman year in high school at 187.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then playing soccer and doing Muay Thai, I was up at 210,
Yeah. I did, I went to boot camp for the Navy, right. I got right out of the swimming pool, right. I was a swimmer. So I was in really good swimming shape. I was that guy, and I'm sure you probably were too from the sounds of it. You probably went into boot camp in better shape than you came out, you know?
I was pretty bad off when I showed up. I was
okay.
I went to college for a semester and I did nothing but smoke and drink.
Well, that'll do it.
So, yeah, that'll, you know, like when you get to boot, yeah, when you go to boot camp, you do that baseline.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to die, but I was 20. So you can suck it up and drive through.
Yeah.
And being totally out of shape and doing nothing but smoking and drinking and partying for a year.
Yeah.
I still ran a 6:20 mile.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, but no, I mean, and then, you know, my A school, my AIT school was in Arizona. And so I went from doing basic on the East Coast at like 50 feet above sea level to doing like 5,000 feet above sea level.
Oh yeah.
So by the time I left AIT, I was in shape.
That's good.
You know, I got to my unit, I did a PT test straight from Arizona. That was the best PT test I ever did. 'Cause I went back to the East Coast.
Yeah. That's crazy. I went to, came back to when the gym shut down and, you know, looking at this year and how everything's going, you know, I'm not one of these, you know, we have a bunch of our internet friends, right? The guys that we hang out with on Twitter and all that stuff, you know,
right.
You know, I don't really know where this whole, where everything's going from a security perspective, but I know where the nation's going and I can see where the way the government is headed. And we'll just say in January, 2021, the odds are higher that you might need to run and gun in your own neighborhood than they were in January, 2020, you know?
For sure.
And I don't know how close that is to the end, you know, how, you know, whether it's actually going to happen or when it's going to happen.
That might vary on location. Yeah,
on location, well. That's for sure. And you know, we all like to go and shoot and have fun with at the range and do various things. And
training's fun, man.
Yeah, but you know, there's a difference between going down to the range and, you know, shooting, you know, a couple hundred rounds or doing, you know, different things with, you know, some tactical training and whatnot. And, you know, running flat out for 2 miles with a kit,
yeah,
you know, and trying to get into, you know, defending your spot or your neighborhood or whatever. And,
yeah. Shout out to Duncan Wayne and, Nate, them boys live it.
That's what I'm saying is I don't know if I'll get there, but I know that I need to do something different to try and get closer to there. You know?
Yeah. Well, they're still in their 20s.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah. I'll give it to them, dude. I'll give it to them. I think Nate posted that picture and I think they're like in the Midwest where it's like really cold and he's running with his kit like on Christmas Day.
I saw that, man.
Homie's dedicated.
Nuts. Yeah.
I love
and
it.
You know what? It's so good for that. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm going to be gearing up towards this year, I think. And I think doing the baseline test that we did, and then having this little special once a month to talk about how we're improving our fitness and getting closer to our goals, I think will be good. And hopefully other people who are listening to this will be inspired to kind of do their own thing, you know.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get some former special operations guys that, you know, that know the fitness thing well, to try to come on and, kind of give a hip pocket class and maybe just, provide some direction on, functional fitness that's related to that kind of things, you know,
I like it.
So to be a combat athlete,
that'd be good.
And, but even if, you know, it's like what, now I'm going to brain fart the guy's name, but does the survival podcast, Jack Spearco.
Oh, I know you. There you go. Okay.
He's talking about, to be prepared if things get bad or even if they don't. So if we get in shape, if nothing happens, that's perfect. That's awesome. I prefer that. But then we're going to be in shape.
There's nothing wrong with being in shape. Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with looking good naked. You know,
I'm so happy this isn't video.
Yeah, especially after I read out what my my weight is. Golly.
Are we gonna do that now? Are we gonna go down our?
Yeah, do you want me to go first?
Thing?
So,
if you want, man.
I wrote down everything. I wrote down my baseline and I wrote down my goals. And so my goal is by March of 2022 to hit these goals.
Okay.
And I'll be 42 years old. So we'll see. So currently I'm age 46.3. Oh, 343.3 pounds. I did a 1 mile in 11 minutes and 40 seconds, which used to be my slow 2 mile time. 37 push-ups, 34 sit-ups, which is actually pretty good considering the gut. I did 7 pull-ups in 2 minutes, and I did kind of cheat. I had a 40-pound resistance band, just because I couldn't pull my fat ass up, but I still pulled in 300 pounds. So that's pretty good. And then I threw a deadlift on there just for the heck of it. And I did that at the end of doing all that. And, I pulled 365 off the ground. I attempted 395 twice and got it up to my knees and just couldn't do it. So,
okay.
But my goal,
that's the baseline. That's the 2021 baseline.
Yeah. So my goal for March 2022 is to be a weight of 235. I want to be sub 6 minute on my 1 mile time, 3 mile time. I want to be 17 minutes at least. And then for push-ups, I put 100 in 2 minute sit-up. I put 90. And then for a 2 minute pull up, I put 42 that's how old I'll be. So, and I would like to be able to deadlift 500 pounds again.
That's doable.
Yeah.
And then your deadlift will come up fast. Oh, that's doable.
And then, I put a little star down at the bottom, learn to fly a helicopter. that part was a joke, but, those that get it, get it.
That's funny. So I don't have that goal. Yeah. So my baseline is I'm 71 inches. So I'm 5'11". I'm 266 pounds. That's down actually. I lost a lot of weight when the gyms closed. I was up at 275. So I've lost 9 pounds since the gyms closed 9 months ago. And, you usually think when you lose weight, that's good. Right. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's not, it just got soft. You know, because right. Yes. I'm not saying I was never the guy. I mean, I haven't been able to see my abs in 20 years, right? Big deal. But I was, you know.
Yeah, you were yoked.
I was a little more jacked. Yeah. So I've lost 9 pounds in 9 months, but that's just because I've gotten softer. I'm 43 years old also. So that's where we're at. And then, so I did 4 pull-ups in 2 minutes. I did 64 push-ups in 2 minutes. I did 45 sit-ups in 2 minutes. And my mile and a half, I ran for a mile and a half, and that was 17 minutes, 13 seconds. So as far as goals go, I want to see that runtime come way down. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know what's realistic anymore at 43. For a mile and a half.
See, a lot of that stuff was just, I found an old PT card that was like one of my last ones, and I was just kind of went off of that.
Yeah. And, I didn't really take the time to set any goals.
But I know for me, like if I get the weight down, all the other stuff gets easier.
All that stuff comes, yeah. And, I said earlier, I'll never be sub 200 again, and I'm okay with that. I haven't been sub 200 for 20 years. I ran the Honolulu Marathon back in, 2007, right? So 14 years ago now.
Yeah.
And even then, that's 26 miles, right? I was in really good running shape, and I was like at 199. Just under. I'm my frame is thick, right? I'm like I got the broad shoulder, so I'll never be down to below 200.
Like I did an 11:32 mile PT on my last PT test. It was 11:32 mile, but I was 240 pounds.
Yeah.
I was also 25.
So that's I guess what this little episode, what this little thing will be about, a little special. We'll just kind of go over this and the different things we're doing. I got to take my kids out to the range and shoot more too. So maybe I'll talk a little bit more about how that goes. But
yeah, I want to look into the Slow Zen in our group. Slow Zen was talking about the Mantis X and stuff like that, which is like a laser trainer.
Yeah,
he said it's legit.
Ammo's expensive, dude.
Yeah,
you know?
And he said it's legit, you know, and he's got a lot of time behind a rifle. So
it does. Yeah, probably him and Skip probably have the most. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but
I think they both mess with Mantis X and all that stuff.
Okay.
You know, anytime, you know, hell, if you want to, I'll probably get slammed for this, but shoot, man, you get a little Red Ryder BB gun and start doing drills in your backyard with soda cans, you'll still get something out of that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you get an airsoft version of what you got and running drills and stuff. That's still not bad.
That'd be fun. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Cause you do that in your garage, put up a tarp in the back wall.
Yeah.
Just tape targets to it.
Yeah. And just kind of run through and just,
yeah, just run drills, get a timer. You know, if you've got kit, get the same stuff that'll fit in your holster and all that stuff, and you can,
yeah,
you can run all that, but you still get, you know, tactile feedback and things like that. And
it's not a bad idea. Just get that technical training. That's good. I didn't think about that. I was part of a tactical gun club here out here for a while. And then that fell through.
Yeah. I remember you talking about that.
They weren't all that cool with hanging out with me.
A little bit little sensitive.
Yeah, they were. We started talking politics. They didn't like where I was at.
Yeah, and the problem with a lot of those gun clubs is you get a lot of FUDs.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, same thing when I worked at the gun shop, man. I get people that would come in. This is about 2012 or so. And people come in, you know, like, you know, them dang jihadis come over here. I'm going to give them what for? I'm like, what the hell you been doing for the last 10 years, dude? There's a recruiting station right down there.
Yeah.
You know, get after it.
Yeah. Well, then he might have to actually go over there and see what's really happening. And he'll change his tune like the rest of us have, you know.
Yeah.
Change his perspective on what's really happening, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. But, oh, damn, phone's ringing. Scam likely. It's probably another. Can we count on your vote? Nope.
If it is, put them on speaker.
Yeah. I don't even want to talk to them, though. That would be fun as an episode.
Just have these guys call in and just, yeah, that'd be fun.
Well, I responded back. They're like, we need to stop socialism. Vote for so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm like, they're both socialists.
You already got it.
Yeah,
I mean, you already got it.
I'm like, dude, did you know that his voting record is or AOC has a higher constitutional voting rating than he does? That's bad.
That's saying something. Yeah, that's saying something.
I mean, it's a point. It's a point better. But
yeah,
he should be smoked. You know, is what they portray and what they deliver two different things. And I had a friend of mine that was a hardcore like constitutional Republican, that kind of stuff, and he still believes in the Constitution, but he's more like he's really into Patrick Henry now and like that kind of stuff, which is good. You know, the anti-federalist, he's really into the anti-federalist now, which is great. And he burned his Republican registration card, and he just finally realized, he's like, dude, they do not give a shit about us. I'm like, nope.
Well, so much of that is they have to generate the problems so they can run on the solutions, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so they create these issues with their vote, you know, with their vote or with their partnerships with these different companies, corporations and whatnot. And they create these problems and then they can run on being part of the solution. And it's just this constant feedback loop. It's that they just feed themselves into this process. And
imagine the level of narcissism that someone would have that they think that they could not only govern the lives of 350 some odd million people in this country, but also think that they know what's better to do in another country. that they've never been to and know nothing about, whatever.
I don't know if it's I don't know if they actually think that they can. You know, I think I don't think any thinking, any sane individual thinks that they can. I think they're just content with trying to fool everybody into thinking that they can, so that they can continue to maintain their, you know, they're all put there by somebody else, right?
True. They're all actors. I mean,
yeah, they're, that's what they are. They're there for the lobbyists and the special interest groups and the people who are, you know, writing the big checks and all that stuff. And
because they don't even write, you know, their first job, the first and anymore. Foremost. They don't even write the bills anymore.
No.
You know, maybe a handful, maybe like Thomas Massey might.
They spend their whole time. And I mean, even, you know, those guys, you know, I understand the appeal, you know, the Rand Paul and Thomas Massey and a team at some degree, like, you know, he's fallen out of favor quite a bit with me, but like Ted Cruz and whatnot, these guys, like, I understand the appeal. But I mean, their first job is to get reelected. They spend the majority of their time, you know, buddying up to all these different interest groups to try and, you know, grease their palms and, you know, get them in. You know, it's probably not the focus of the episode or this episode, but
no, but you get a lot of them that'll bring people like me and you, or like, you know, your daughter is almost old enough, you know, send people like her over to kill a bunch of brown people in another country just so Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, and Boeing would donate to their reelection.
Yeah. Yes. That's what it's for. It's at, you know, Smedley Butler, you know, War's a Racket. You know, have you read that? Have you read that book? It's like this thick.
Yeah, dude. I quoted his ass like an hour ago. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Smedley Butler would like a word.
Yeah. It's War's a Racket, man. And there's no shortage of evidence, which is why
it always has been.
Yeah, which is why I feel like. That's why I feel like I'm less concerned about trying to wake people up anymore, because there's so much evidence out there that if you want to be woken up, you will be.
Yeah.
Right. Like the evidence is just insurmountable. I'm more interested in just looking at my little crew that I got here, my wife and my kids and, you know, some really close homies, and figuring out, okay, what do we got to do to take care of us, to take care of this, and be the light in the world to show the way. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time chasing these guys, you know?
Yeah. Be the light on the hill, man.
Yeah.
They'll come to you. I feel that, like, trying to, like, you know, red pillow people, whatever, like you said, like they're either there or they're not.
Yeah.
And you can find out real fast. It's like, I don't know how many times over this holiday season that I've heard from family members, like, we'll be talking and I'm like explaining things. They're like, well, you got to vote for them. Like, have you looked at their voting record? Well, no. I'm like, okay, well, I have. I'm not voting for them. I'm not voting at all. Sorry. And it's like, they'll just come with it. It's almost like you see them go execute reason to vote -1.exe, and they just go.
Yeah.
And I finally just looked at somebody, some of my family member, and I said, you realize you just quoted word for word the commercial that was on 5 minutes ago, word for word. And I was like, that's not an original thought. You didn't reason yourself into that. You just see R's are better than D's, and that's all you know.
Yeah.
They're the same though.
They are.
And like, that's the game they've got you fooled into.
But do you remember the darkness when you first realized that it was all baloney? Yeah, dude, I mean,
that was a rough couple years.
Yeah, dude. I mean, so serious. Like, you know, for me, it came out like when I was way into the whole 2016. I was on team Ted Cruz, right? I was really, really pushing hard for my boy Ted to win the, you know, Republican nominee. And, you know, I'm a Christian, right? So I'm looking around all the, you know, he's a Christian, I'm a Christian, he's a constitutionalist. At the time I was a constitutionalist, right? Or so I thought, right? And I'm doing all this stuff, and then all these people who were, you know, hashtag never Trump, right? My brothers and sisters in Christ, these Christians and whatnot, and now Trump wins the nominee and all that goes away. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, I don't want to like, I'm not putting anything on anybody else necessarily.
No, because we've been there. But, we were there. Yeah,
but it was a wake up for me. It's like, wait a minute. So I started digging and started digging and started digging. And when I finally realized that it's all baloney, man. I mean, that's, you know, you're talking, I mean, like, I'm talking to another vet like you, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, so the national anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance, voting
was written by a socialist. Yeah.
The chain of command, you know, the whole consent of the governed and all this other stuff that we're led to buy into is all baloney, man. That was a pretty dark, you know, few weeks anyway.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? I don't need any of it. Mm-hmm. You know, but from that was like, there's hope and a little bit more individualism, you know, and trying mm-hmm. to figure out, you know, and of course, being a Christian, I went down that hole and tried to reconcile my faith with my politics and tried to figure out, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going to make any claims to who Christ would or would not have voted for or any of that stuff, right? That's not the point, but
I probably wouldn't have voted.
Yeah, no, you're probably right, you know, but then just trying to take what I know of the character of God, the character of my Savior, and then the character of these people that we have on a pedestal in Washington, D.C. It didn't wash, you know?
Yeah, because you really start looking at it. That's why they call it the cathedral.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, where Lincoln, you know, and what we know now is that Lincoln was a tyrant and that he ushered in, you know, the private public relationship, which is socialism.
Yeah.
And all the things, you know, and he didn't care about the slaves. He was an ethno-nationalist. He's the reason Liberia exists. They mm-hmm. shipped a ton of people to Liberia and they died. And then they shipped a lot of people to the, you know, the Caribbean. And the only reason he did not want slavery in the West is because he did not want white people and black people commingling. Mm. That was it. He didn't care about any of that. And so, but in Washington, D.C., you got a huge monument to him and it says in this temple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me it's not a cult.
Well, they don't even hide it. No. Right. I mean, you read the flag code is another example. Right. And, you know, where you're supposed to treat the flag as if it's a living, breathing thing, you know, and that's, you know, that's cultish style behavior right there. You know, I mean, I don't know, man. There's a lot of evidence, and it goes back to the other stuff. So you go back and you go, because of all of this evidence, the people who want to be awake are already awake. Mm-hmm. The people who, you know, and then, so it's so cheesy. It's so cheesy when you go back.
Oh, if you can make it through 2020 and not see it.
Yeah.
You're not gonna.
Yeah. That's true.
That's just
true.
Yeah, I'm like, if you're at the end of 2020 and you're still on board with the whole thing, have fun on that rail car, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Hope you get a window seat.
It's so dark.
I know.
Dark. Why does it always go down that way? I don't know, whatever.
Because we used to work for the government.
Yeah, we know some things because we've seen some things.
Yeah, it's like, I know. Yeah. We are veterans. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, but no, you're right, man. If you can get through this whole, plandemic, you know, COVID-19 84, whatever we're calling it now, and not see that it's all kind of orchestrated and it's all kind of designed to compel compliance. Yeah.
Worship.
Yeah.
Partake in the sacrament.
Yeah. Makes you want to go do some push-ups and go for a run.
Dude, I'll tell you what. Ain't no joke.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know if it's going to happen, but I know that I'm not in any shape to deal with it if it does. And that's the point of trying to get to where we need to be. Right.
That's what I'm screaming. I mean, if anything, I just don't want to be, you know, my wife's uncle is in the hospital with like really, really, really bad health. But, you know, he made a lot of, there's a lot of decisions over a lot of years that went into that.
Yeah.
And, you know, diabetes, congenital heart failure, like all this stuff. And they're like, look at what the COVID's doing to him. I'm like, homie had a lot of stuff going on well before that. You understand that, right?
It's not, yeah, you don't want to, and like, so yeah, you don't want to cheapen anything, right? Like, you don't want to, but the reality
yeah. I'm like, you understand that, like, he got himself to the point where like a sinus infection could do it, you know? And then, you know, I'm really glad we did this baseline thing. We decided to do this because I had to check myself too. I'm like, on that same road if I don't stop.
Yeah.
You know, I've been over 300 pounds for a long time. Now I got down to like 3 years ago, I got down to 290. And somehow I did the water dunk test and I was like at 17% body fat at 290.
Wow.
And then I hurt my back and didn't work out for 3 years.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah. But now I'm just like, you know what? I got to check myself. You know, I'm not that dude. You know, it's really easy to get in your head. I can still do it. I'm still that guy.
Yeah.
But you're not, unless you're putting in the work, you're not at all.
So I was telling my Sunday school class, I teach the young singles Sunday school class at my church. And I was like, you know, in my head, the 80s are still 10 years away. You know, the 80s are still 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know,
for me, it's the 90s, you know,
yeah,
because like, I still listen to the same music. I'm still listening. Yep.
It's so dumb because here we are. It's 2021. I graduated high school in 1996 and I still think of like the 80s as 10 years ago.
Right. Exactly. No. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
It's like, and no wonder why, that's why you think you're still that guy. Cause so do I, right. I'm still, exactly. still a 17-year-old kid.
I'm still listening to grunge and,
yep.
oh, you know,
all the time.
80s yeah. punk and like yeah. 70s, like I'm still listening to like the Doobie Brothers. And
yeah. So it takes that baseline to make you go,
yeah.
Maybe I need to put in a little bit of work.
Yeah. I'm not that dude no more, but I can be, and I will That's be. I'll be better. Cause here's the thing. If we can get to the shape, if we hit our goals and we do, you know, put in the work, you know, with the fitness and, you know, the faith and all that stuff, we will now be in that if I knew then what I know now.
Yeah.
Moment.
Yep. Which is a good place to be.
It is.
Yeah. To be able to redo some things. But what are we calling this little thing that we're doing? Is this do we have a hashtag that we're going to try and pimp on this?
Baseline.
Baseline? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get it done in 2020 or 2021. I don't know.
There it is. Yeah.
I'm not good at hashtags.
Fit to fight. Fit to boog. What do you want? There you go.
Now I've already been called a dictator and a white supremacist too much this week already. So.
Okay. So we're going to stay away from that. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah,
which is the funniest thing that, you know, those guys, they'll just they'll just take. This is why we can't use the word capitalism anymore. This is why we, you know what I mean, like,
or radical, just,
or radical, right?
Or they just or anarchist
or anarchist. They just take a word and they make it into something that it isn't, right? And
yeah,
as long as they're controlling the media, they can control the narrative, which means they can control the language,
mm-hmm.
right?
I still say what I want. I don't care,
and you should.
Yeah.
You should.
Just because they don't know the meaning of words means I need to change.
Yeah.
Pick up a dictionary.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I'm just a knuckle dragging machinist, bro. If I'm smarter than someone with a degree, there's a problem.
That's funny. Well, you know, the degrees out there aren't that great.
Yes, that's true.
I went to college after I got out of the Navy and I graduated with some kids. That
I'm just
how are you how are you even in school, let alone graduating, man?
It's like, how do you not fall down all the time?
Which then I look at what I did, I was like, oh. Oh, okay, yeah, I'm like you, but you know, tack on 20 years, I guess, you know.
Yeah, it's you know, I went back to school when I got out of the Army and I was 25 and I was in the room full of 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
And I made a joke and the guy that was the instructor was like my age. He got the joke. He thought it was hilarious. But I just remember this girl just looked over. She's like, oh my God, how old are you? I'm like, shut the fuck up. And, That wasn't very nice of me to say.
No, that wasn't.
I was still in transition. I'd only been out like a month.
Yeah.
And I was still angry. And then, yeah, I don't know. You're right, though. You know, just because you, what is it that Pat always says? Is that, what is, certifications don't mean anything?
Oh, I don't, yeah, I don't know.
Something like that. You know, it's kind of like the old joke, you know, what do they call the person that came in, that, passed with a D in medical school?
Yeah. Doctor.
Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I got my degree in business, right? It's business administration. And then I got my, project management, professional, certificate. Right. And really what all that did for me was nothing, you know, it,
You run your own business, don't you?
Yeah, I have my own company, right? But I did it to just kind of get something that already backs up what I already know, kind of thing.
Because you contract, right? So
yeah,
you know, they look at your bona fides and they see you got the stuff that makes them feel good.
Yep. Yeah. And it, you know, it helps with the business insurance and helps with the customer's frame of you know, comfort level when they hire me and all that stuff. But you're right. It's I didn't get anything. All I did was, you know, I Googled my way through college, you know.
Oh yeah. That's real life.
Yeah. I just Googled my way through college and most of that stuff I kind of already knew. And, you know, the lower division, the associate's degree stuff was so easy because, you know, we'll look at it like this, the history that they were learning for their associate's degree for like liberal arts type stuff. Right. I lived through it, right?
Yeah.
I remember the Berlin Wall coming down. I remember the fall of the Soviet Union. I remember all these things that happened that they're reading in a book trying to envision. And I remember the news.
Yeah.
You know, I remember watching it on TV and
you're reading and that book. Stuff. You're like, that's not how that happened.
That's not how that went down. This is all wrong. Yeah. Yeah.
But, pull up so a all chair. That stuff was, let me tell you a story.
It was all easy, right? It was all easy for me. And so then, you know, but, and I don't know, I think that when it's well earned and it's well placed, the right kind of degree can help shore up, somebody, what they already know. The worst thing in the world is when you have the kid, and this happens a lot, especially in the industry that I'm in, we get these engineers, these young engineers that come out, you know, 25 years old, brilliant kids, brilliant, right? But they don't, you know, this is the guy that can split an atom, but he can't change a light bulb, right? Like, but they want to be given the keys to the castle immediately, and they don't understand why they don't get the keys. You know?
There was a joke when I was in school to be a machinist, and it said, it was like, why did the machinist knock on the door? And it was, because the engineer didn't account for the handle. hold on just a sec.
All right. Okay.
Sorry, I just realized that my laptop wasn't plugged in. It showed up with 3 minutes left.
Oh yeah,
so we're good now.
Cool.
But yeah, there's a lot to be said for experience.
Absolutely. Yep.
And you know, you see it a lot on Twitter. You see people, they'll make all these outrageous claims and what they think, and I'm like, you've never been anywhere, have you? Yeah. You know.
You can tell. You can tell when the guys are just flying off of what they read in a book, you know,
yeah,
or something. And more and more, it's a reawakening for them. And it just shows the absolute sham that education is, you know. Most of these kids I keep saying kids, man, it makes me feel, whatever, but you get the idea. Most of these guys should just be going straight into like a trade. Like, I think the smartest guys in the room, the smartest guys in the world are the ones that go on and learn how to be a plumber. And then 10 years later, he opens up his own business as a plumber, you know, and, or a roofer, or, you know, a thing, a welder, a machinist, whatever, right? They go off and they learn this skill. They learn this trade. And like me, I'm a mechanic, you know?
Yeah. That's what I was. That's what I, when I got out of the army, I became a mechanic.
Yeah. I'm not a great mechanic, but I know some stuff, and then because my
skills, make it work again.
Yeah, my skills lent themselves more towards management, right? So I kind of went in that direction, but to start out as a mechanic was great, because now I can have that conversation with the guy who's actually fixing it. I'm the guy with the flashlight and clipboard, right? But I can have a good conversation with the guy that's doing the work, which is important to have, you know?
Well, it's just like when you were in the Navy, did you ever have an officer that was prior enlisted?
Yes, those were the best ones.
Always the best ones.
Generally speaking, yeah.
And they always got crapped on by their superiors.
Yeah.
Quit being so nice to the enlisted guys.
Because they were unclean too, man. You know what I mean? Like
Do you ever notice
their blood wasn't quite blue enough, you know?
Yeah, but do you ever notice like none of the officers smoked or dipped? It was
except
weird.
Except for the Mustang. I don't know what you call them in
the army, but same deal.
Yeah.
Or the warrants.
Yeah, the warrants or the Mustangs. Yeah, yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought the warrant officers were cool because they didn't care. They were outside of the system a bit.
I had, different culture, right? Navy versus Army. But I had a first ship I was on, I had a CWO4, right? And he was the ship, what they call the ship's bosun, right? He was mm-hmm. in charge of all the seamanship, line handling, underway replenishment, all the stuff that happens on deck on the ship. He called the captain of the ship in front of us, he called him Scooter, you know, which I thought was like, I lost it. I was just like, and you just don't do that, right? Because the captain is, he's the boss, he's the captain, mm-hmm. he's the CO of the ship. They were having a discussion. He said, "Look here, Scooter, I've been doing this for yada yada." And he went down there. It's like, you can talk, who gets to talk to the captain like that? Different culture, but yeah.
Chiefs, warrant officers can, because there's not much that they can say about it. It's like, it's like they go higher up. It's like, what do you want me to do? He's not under your command technically. So we'd always get the guy. It's like that joke is like the warrant officer. He's like, you never see him. He never shows up for PT, and he just wrote his own approval for leave.
That's funny. That was like, when I was in high school, my mom signed over my, I was 18 my senior year, and she said that I could check myself out of class.
Mm-hmm.
She signed the form. I don't know if they ever did that in Georgia, but in California, So I was 18 my senior year, and she signed the thing that said that I could check myself out of class. And my dad's sitting there going, that's a bad idea. That's terrible. I know this kid, but you go ahead. You think he's a saint? Go ahead. And dude, I was signing my own, like, you know, permission, you know, to get out of six periods so I could go to Taco Bell. Like, it would say that on the thing, and I would just drive off campus with my car, and yeah, it's no wonder why I barely graduated, but whatever.
Yeah. So I guess let's steer it back to the fitness part.
Let's do it.
So, you know, you said like your gyms are closed, and the gyms are closed here too. And see, I have no excuse for being out of shape. I have a gym in my garage. Mm. I was doing CrossFit for a while, and then I kept tearing my shoulder up. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And I have issues with my hips. Like, I have really bad, what's it called? The psoas. And that's just from not stretching.
Okay.
A lot my entire life. But so I put in the rubber floor. I've got rubber floor, Muay Thai bag. I got barbells. I got like 500 something pounds of plates and kettlebells, all that jazz. So I've got no excuse.
I want to be there someday, man. I definitely do. I want to be there someday.
You know, it was weird. Like, I spent like $1,200 bucks and just did it. And
that's cheaper than in the long run, you know?
Figured, I was like, you know what? That's cheaper than a year of going to CrossFit.
Yeah. And, so I started doing karate. I started doing that. I was, my kid got into it. He was doing Kenpo, and I kept messing with his sensei. I was like, hey dude, you know, you got to get an adult class here, man. You know, and so I pressured him. And there was like two or three people that also pressured him. So he started his adult class. And so I go when my son goes, but I go like an hour later. Right. So, but you know what? Now all those other dudes are gone. So I'm getting one-on-one time with the sensei.
Nice.
So I'm like this old fat white belt just out there. But I'm getting good. I'm having fun with it. It's good. And it's like I work up a sweat too. So yeah, I started doing that too. So that's another one for the getting fit. That's good.
Yeah. And that's a good deal. And that's, you know, hand eye coordination, balance, mm-hmm. you know, some good, I mean, legit karate is pretty dope.
Yeah.
And I imagine being in Hawaii, you know, you've got access to more legit martial arts than Georgia.
And well, I don't know.
There's some Gracie stuff around here. I mean, I was going to Straight Blast Gym, which is, you know, that's under like Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
He's in Straight Blast, stuff like that. Those guys are legit as it gets. I'm too beat up and stiff for jiu-jitsu. I did jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai when I was younger. And so I've got a baseline in it. I'm like, I just can't, it's not for me no more. Like my hands are jacked up, so I can't grip like I used to. I love the Muay Thai. It's just hip issues.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean,
well, we'll get there.
My number one thing is get to my goals and then we'll see what happens.
Right on.
You know, and I still do the fundamentals well. And I, you know, I can still work that. So
awesome. We got anything else to talk about? I didn't mean to shut it off like that.
Okay.
Yeah. you know,
what are your goals for 2021 other than the getting in shape?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah. I just turned off my video feed.
Awesome. Okay. So first I want to get closer to God. And part of what that is I'm going to read my Bible more. And so this year I want to complete the Bible in a year. So mm-hmm. I started doing that already. What is it? The third day of the year. So I'm still on track. But you know, the process is, you know, you got to read a little bit every day, read a little bit every mm-hmm. day. And I've done in the past and not quite made it. Mm-hmm. I have successfully completed it in the past as well. But what happens is if you don't do it, you get behind, you get discouraged. So mm-hmm. what I'm going to try to do this year is if I do fall behind, I'm going to not get discouraged. I'm just going to carry that on into 2022. If I don't quite make it all the way through the year. The other thing is I need to love my wife more. Mm-hmm. I know that my wife is a wonderful woman and I do. I love her very much, but I need to get closer to her and love her more. I also want to help my kids understand how to find freedom. Mm-hmm. Understand
what freedom means.
Yeah, what we have in comparison to what we're supposed to have. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal. And then of course this one, get, you know, fit and you know, get fit, get healthy, you know, and be, you know, be a little bit in better shape. And then of course, from a philosophical perspective, I want to find myself in more agorist situations where I'm mm-hmm. you know, doing more things maybe under the table, doing more things, and not for the purpose so much as to starve the state, because I think that's hard to do when the state is as big as it is.
Well, it's impossible.
I know a lot of agorists, they think that, mm-hmm. And I think it's a noble goal, you know, but I think you limit yourself when you try and be just agorist and mm-hmm. do that specifically because you're trying to starve the state, considering that there's 330 million other people who don't understand that concept at all. So you're like, you're totally outnumbered. It's like being mm-hmm. a grain of sand on the beach. It's like just not even worth it, right? So, but from a philosophical perspective, I want to try and reach out and do a little bit more stuff kind of under the table in you know, maybe black and gray markets and things like that. So
well, it's like anyone that has a side hustle, like any mechanic that works on cars on the side, that's agorism, bro. Mm-hmm. It's like Jack Spirico was saying. He goes, sometimes it makes sense to do it that way. Sometimes it makes sense to work within the system. He goes, if it's beneficial to you and the person you're dealing with, then agorism makes sense. If he goes, if it doesn't, it doesn't. He goes, it's not about starving the state. It's about improving your life and the life around you.
I agree. So, and that's where I want to do that. I want to do more of that. And so those are kind of my goals is, you know, get closer to God, love my wife more, help my kids find more freedom and understand what that is. And then get in shape and become a little bit more of an agorist, you know, and maybe the incremental steps to kind of help try and find life outside of the system if we can eventually, you know.
I dig it.
Yeah. What about you? Where are you at?
I'm pretty much in line with you. I don't have kids, and we found out last year that that's not going to happen. So, but no, I definitely want to get closer to my wife. I owe her better.
Yeah.
And not that I'm a bad husband, I could be a better one. But yeah, I want to grow my relationship with Christ.
Good.
And I want to be better. I want to put on a better show.
Okay.
And I want to get a better quality, you know, and that's going to entail me actually putting in work and doing the research and things like that. And, you know, definitely the getting in shape part and getting finances and or getting things paid off.
Yeah.
Try to be as debt free as possible. And
that's so big. That's so big.
That's the biggest thing, man. You know, you get out of that debt slavery thing. And it's, you know, that's freedom right there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just in general, be a better human being. And also to try to get kind of practice what I preach more. You know, I can sit there on Twitter and throw bombs all day, but if I'm not putting in the work too, then it really doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And then I'm no better than the people that I criticize.
Yeah.
And maybe I'd like, especially this year, I want to be less of a dick on Twitter.
Which that's going to be hard to do because it's like a target rich environment, bro.
I do. That's exactly the excuse that I gave to my wife. I was like, I wouldn't be such of a dick if they weren't so stupid. But basically, you know, kind of like I'm not going to go looking for it. But if it comes to me, I'll just shut it down and block them, whatever.
Yeah.
It's pointless. But, I probably am this year. I'm going to be getting active and, you know, trying to help Shane get the nomination to run for governor in Georgia. And then good. I may or may not be doing something more with like Mises, kind of throwing that idea around, maybe see if I can get involved and help out there. And yeah, just kind of live more of that anarcho-Christian lifestyle.
That's good. That's good, man. That's kind of so, I think where I need to be.
Yeah. Be the complete, you know, try to improve, you know, mind, body, and spirit. So also going to try to not drink as much this year. So that's
good.
That's a huge one. That's a lot of calories. Like I wouldn't say like I drink a ton, like a six pack a week, a week or something. That's still a ton of calories.
Yeah, well, so it's a lot of calories, and then you know, alcohol it drains your testosterone.
It really does.
And if you're trying to get fit, it's you know just one more barrier in the way, right?
It is.
You need your test level up to you know,
especially at our age, you know.
Yeah.
And it causes inflammation in your gut and screws your gut up, and then makes it where you can't absorb, you know, the nutrients and everything that you need. So yeah, it's just pointless. So yep. Like you said, it's
that's good.
You know, just removing barriers this year.
Yeah.
You
know? That's good.
I want to run this sucker wide open.
You got to be able to do that. Let's do that. That's good.
Right on. That's it. Hashtag wide open. That could be taken the wrong way. hashtag get it done.
Yeah. All right. We'll figure it out. We'll get there. Yeah, we should do that. Focus on our fitness, focus on things that we're doing and, bring in, like you had that guy that you're talking about, the guy that used to be Special Forces, have him come in, talk a little bit about fitness.
Yeah.
We should bring somebody in and talk about, I'm just spitballing ideas here. Bring somebody in to talk about, wounds, like first aid type stuff. You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. You got Matt.
Matt can do that. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and get some subject matter experts to come in and talk about. You know, if there's someone out there that's, you know, that's still in the tactical community or even in the competition world, that would like to come on the show and talk about dry fire practice, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, how to be, basically this year, I just want to be more effective and streamline things.
I like it.
And, you know, I'm tired of doing things the hard way. I want to do them the smart way. And not that it makes it any easier, but just makes your efforts go further. And
I like
that's what I kind of want to do this year. And, you know, hopefully people that listen to this will get something out of it. And
yeah, I'd like to hope that we can maybe inspire some people too, because, you know, there's got to be some guys that maybe aren't that far off that are looking at themselves going, I could probably do better.
Yeah. You know? Like even Bird, you know, he said he's getting back in shape and stuff.
Yeah, that's good. You know? I like it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Well, I think that's a natural stopping point.
I like it. That's good. Thanks for doing this, man. And
yeah, brother, it's always good to talk to you.
And we'll bring Gumbo in here too, and you know, we could all point and laugh at him all day long.
Hashtag where's Gumbo?
he's just you know, that's what you get for you put your family first.
Yeah, he was busting Walt's chops for doing the same thing.
Yeah, he's already on his to-do list, getting better at things. Good for him. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right,
brother. Well, you have a good evening, and miss you, and it's good talking to you.
Yeah, buddy. We'll talk later, man. Thanks.
All right.
Mahalo out.